game is over when the final buzzer sounds. The analysis ends when you say it does. This is Overtime Open Line. Interviews, analysis, and your opinion. Oilers Hockey is brought to you by Friesen Brothers. And now, the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.
Fully into the middle for Anderson. He lost it at the Oiler blue line. Draisaitl gets it out. Now to McDavid. He's got a breakaway. Scores! Connor McDavid puts it upstairs. And Edmonton's up 5-3.
Well, big night from Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. 2 goals, 2 assists for McDavid. A goal and 3 assists for Draisaitl. And they pace the Edmonton Oilers to a 5-3 win over the Montreal Canadiens. That goal, the insurance marker with 5:20 left in the third. The Canadiens pressing for a tie. They turn it over at the Oilers' blue line. Draisaitl finds McDavid. He gets the breakaway, and he nets his 21st goal of the season. So the Oilers have won 4 of their last 5. They go to 14-11 on the season. The Canadiens are now 12-11-1. Reed Wilkins, Rob Brown in Studio 99 for Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. It's 8:02. Thanks a lot for joining us tonight. Rob, before the game and even after the game a couple days ago, you and I were excited about this game. We thought it would be entertaining. I would have not thought it was entertaining in the way it turned out to be, especially in that second period.
No, it was an odd game. The first 19 minutes of this game, the Montreal Canadiens played as perfect of hockey as you can. They had held the Oilers to 4 shots. They got the lead. They played disciplined. And then with 1 minute to go in the first period, it all completely fell apart.
All right, here's Oilers head coach Jay Woodcroft.
Important goals, but I thought our best, most mature, most professional period was probably that third period where we were able to lock them down, and I thought we rolled 4 lines going into that period. I was proud of our guys because didn't really love our first. There was parts to our second that we liked, but I thought our third is a complete period. Our third period was the best.
What did your group capture in that moment? Like, what style of play? What habits were there that you kind of want to bottle?
Well, I think, especially when we're in that position, we're up by one, we're heading into that third period. I think, the ability to have another team have to work through you rather than giving up freebie chances against. I saw us commit to working back to our end in an organized fashion, and the other team had to work through 5 people. We weren't perfect that entire third period, but I saw people sacrificing to get the win, and we did a lot of good stuff. Like I said, I thought it was a mature and professional period for us.
Your goaltender, do you see a young guy that maybe smells some opportunity to, perhaps play more than everybody thought he was going to play?
Yeah. I said it this morning to the group. I was asked the question, was I surprised by the number of games he's played to this point? I don't think Stewart is surprised by that. I think if you asked him, he'd probably want more. I've seen him every step of the way, seen him be a support goaltender in Bakersfield, work his way up into the starter position. A few years ago, we went on a long run. I think we went 9 in a row with him in the net. He's earned the right to feel good about himself and his game. But what I do know about Stewart is he's a professional guy. He's not going to let it get to his head. There's still things in his game he wants to clean up. And best part is that he gave us a chance to win the game tonight.
So you've been through probably the worst part of your schedule this season. It's recently in your rearview mirror. You get home, you got a 4-game stand here, you can breathe a little bit, and you won 4 out of 5 with a bunch of injuries. Just your thoughts on state of the union here.
Yeah, well, I think it's a credit to the people that we did dress over this time, and that we are continuing to dress. It speaks to some of the depth pieces that we have in our organization that we feel good about. That's a credit to our management for making sure that we do have appropriate depth. I think finding a way to win 4 of 5, I think today was 4 games and five and a half nights, traversing the continent, it's felt like, over the last little while. But, you know, there's no rest for the weary. We've got a good Washington Capitals team coming into our building, and they're gonna compete. They got a good power play, and we're going to have to work to make sure that we're ready and fully prepared for them.
Hey, Jay. Just want to ask you about Jesse Puljujärvi's game tonight. You know, he credited with eight hits, didn't seem to shy away from the physicality at all, especially against a guy like Arbor Jacki, who's a pretty physical character in himself.
Mm-hmm. I like Jesse's game. I think, you know, if you asked him, he'd be disappointed in the fact that he hasn't put up the scoring numbers that maybe he wants to put up. But what I like about him is he's contributing to our team winning. He's finding a way to help our team win. I have full trust in him. You know, he was a big part of that first 5-on-3 goal. He's wrestling around net front, and you know, I think the offense will come for him. But you know, like, I thought he made a lot of really strong plays, and it was a big factor in us winning the game.
I guess you file it under good problems to have when your superstars are breathing heavy because of so much power play time. What did you think of that sequence to start the second period?
Yeah.
How your guys responded?
You know what, I thought and I don't usually do this, I thought the referees did a good job tonight in the game they called. They were all penalties, and you know, we were able to convert. That's what a power play is supposed to do. In that sequence, I tried to make sure that I gave enough to other people coming out of it to make sure that we weren't overplaying anybody. We got good contributions. So I thought I was quite pleased that our power play helped us win the game.
Specifically to the Hyman cross check in the head, is that one you really want to score on? Like, want to score on all of them, but is that one that you really want to?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy we did. I'm happy we scored on that. That was, you know, that's a tough play, and I thought it was the appropriate call. And you know, they had time to go and review it, make sure that it was the right call. And yeah, you want to really make sure that you're bearing down on that one.
McDavid was talking about how earlier in his career breakaways were something he felt he needed to be better at and work on.
Yep.
What have you seen in his evolution? Because this year it he's been almost a lock on a lot of these breakaways.
Yeah, just the killer instinct aspect of it. I think he comes in with so much speed that it backs a lot of goalies off and opens up some holes, and he's able to find them. But the killer instinct aspect of it, that was a huge goal for our team. You know, we were able to get him on the ice in a matchup that we wanted at that point in the game, and he made him pay. Good, thanks, guys.
That is Edmonton Oilers head coach Jay Woodcroft after a 5-3 win over the Montreal Canadiens. Well, I don't know if McDavid was ever poor on breakaways, but he put that one away, and he scored some other big ones this season already, as he's up to 21 goals. The second period, Rob, was wild, crazy. I mean, Edmonton had a power play that continued over from the end of the first period. They got a 5-on-3. They didn't score on the two-man advantage part of that, but Nugent Hopkins scored. Kirby Dach went off, which is maybe the only penalty of those that might have been a little bit debatable, but if you get in a trailing position against McDavid, you might get penalized. And then Joel Edmondson, the cross-check on Hyman. And I know Montreal eventually came back and tied the game, but that's where it really shifted.
Well, the game completely shifted there on all those penalties. The Canadians were in complete control of this game after at the 19-minute mark of the first period. Then they took a silly, needless penalty. It was dumb. You were behind your net and you tripped Connor McDavid when your team had the puck. So that was dumb, and that just set off a sequence, because all of a sudden, I think it was Edmondson got the next one. It was an accidental high stick, but accidents happen, and it wouldn't be that bad. You'd just have to kill off a 5-4, but you'd already taken a dumb penalty. And then of the penalties, they got one that was, I thought the Dach penalty was soft. Mm-hmm. I thought the Edmondson high-sticking penalty was unfortunate, but then there was three dumb penalties. There was three dumb penalties. The penalty where they, the tripping one, the cross-check to the head, that's a 2, a 4, or a 5. They're already shorthanded. No matter if they review it, whether there's blood or not, you're going to get a 2, a 4, or a 5 on it, because you cross-check the guy in the head. So that was dumb. And then Suzuki, who's a wonderful young hockey player, you're shorthanded again, and you grab the puck, you take a step, and you throw it. There's no need for that. He had no one on him. Just bats it down or just pushes it out, and it's okay. So they gave those penalties, and it just turned the game, and now you're chasing. And the penalty that Edmondson took when he got kicked out of the game, that just absolutely crushed the Canadiens. Because now, I just checked, he played 10 minutes when he got kicked out. That was 40
that
seconds
was
into the second period.
25 minutes into the game.
Not 21 minutes.
He was kicked out.
Oh, the second.
Right.
So he's probably, that's another 18 minutes he probably would have played in this game that now these young defensemen are having to play. David Savard barely made it to the bench after one of the penalty kills because he was so exhausted. Now you're playing catch-up. And the other big moment in this game was where the Montreal Canadian player toe-picked in his own end with 6 seconds to go in the period, and Nurse scores with 4 seconds. And all of a sudden, as Jay Woodcroft talked about, they had a great third period because the Canadians were chasing. And the Canadians really only had one grade-A scoring chance that I remember in the third. It was a crossbar. They were inches away from tying it, but the Oilers played better, and the Canadians had to chase, and they were exhausted from killing penalties and only having 5 defensemen.
Yeah, the Oilers with a pretty solid third period. That's our quick change for Jiffy Lube, keeping you moving to and from the game. Visit your local Jiffy Lube today. 5-3 Edmonton is your final, and the big guys lead the way. Drysdale, McDavid, and Hyman are aligned. They were stars 1, 2, and 3. Certainly a concern we've talked about, well, for a couple of years, is the Oilers roster being top heavy, but the way it is now,
they have no choice.
There's not much other choice. I mean, they probably have generously 2, if not 3, players playing that might be in the minors or would be a 13th forward if everybody was healthy. So they now, you know, maybe Yamamoto's back soon, maybe Fogle's back sooner rather than later. Bob was mentioning a little longer term for McLeod, and we know it's
real long
into the new year for Kane, but yeah, they're going to need the power play to click, and those big guys are going to be playing a lot, and they're going to have to be productive a lot if the Oilers want to rack up some more wins.
Well, and that's why when you're playing against the Oilers now, you play a very solid, disciplined game, because if you play disciplined, you only every third or fourth shift you have to face the top players, and you try to survive that shift. But when you get undisciplined, now you're giving the Edmonton Oilers best players 5-on-4s and 5-on-3s, and I thought in the first period they did a really good job against Connor and Leon in their line, but all of a sudden the second period they come out, now I think they're on the ice more or less 5 of the first 6 minutes of the second period on power plays, and that just got their legs going, they got their juices going, and then you're chasing, and when you're chasing, bad things happen. And in the third period, trying to make something happen out of nothing at the blue line, I think it was Anderson or Doc, one of the two, tries making a play at the blue line and gets intercepted by Draisaitl. And Caden Gooley was so exhausted that he went off the ice. He didn't even look back to see what was happening because he had nothing left in him. McDavid gets the breakaway, and that's the end of the story. And I like when they asked the question about McDavid's breakaways early in his career. He always was pretty good at it. But the one thing, and we've talked about it with all young players coming up, and I remember Pavel Bure didn't score the first year or two on breakaways. It's you always have the talent. It's just having the confidence. And when you're young on breakaways, you're hoping you're going to score. When you gain a little confidence, you know you're going to score. And I think that's where Connor McDavid is now. When he has the puck on a breakaway, he knows he's scoring. It's like there's no way this goalie has the ability to stop being on that one right there. Allen, who we saw play against Calgary the night, was fantastic. I mean, he guessed 6 different ways wrong on that one, and Connor McDavid goes upstairs, and that's the end of the hockey game.
I'm going to split the fourth star tonight. I mentioned the top line for the Oilers were stars 1, 2, and 3. The fourth star for Jandale Homes, Alberta's premier modular home retailer. Woodcroft mentioned it. Jesse Puljujärvi with 8 hits tonight, and I'm going to give the hometown kid coming back to play Caden Gooley the other half of the fourth star. He plays 21-38. He was even, 3 shots on goal. 6 hits.
Well, to talk about both of them, Caden Gooley is going to be a star in this league. I was incredibly impressed with that young man. His ability on the ice, his skating, his offensive instinct, and then without fear, going head-to-head against Connor McDavid, he was excellent. But Jesse Puljujärvi, it's funny about Jesse, is he doesn't know his strength. I've never seen somebody get as hated by opposition teams. And like, he doesn't, like, it's like he has no idea why they hate him. Like, he goes out there, he doesn't back talk. He's not out there slashing people. He's not like Benson guys are going to hate Benson because Benson's looking for it. He's trying to antagonize. Jesse just, he's just a big body that just bumps people. And by the end of the night, there's six guys that are chasing him around the ice, but he doesn't back down. So good on Jesse.
Oilers win 5-3. That means the Japanese Village goal light is activated on 630ched.com. Go ahead and print up a coupon for a free appetizer at Japanese Village, Edmonton's favorite Japanese steakhouse. Reserve your party today at jvedmonton.ca. Just to wrap up we're talking about the power play. So the Oilers wind up going 3-for-5 on the power play, and the Canadians wind up going 2-for-3. So Edmonton's penalty killing is back in a relatively major lull. But I guess if you're going to go 33% on the penalty kill, you better go 60% power play. So that's what they were able to do tonight. But the Oilers, we're going to be talking about this probably for years with this group of players. The Oilers' power play is so good, and they were the Canadians, I thought, Rob, I should have tracked how many they tried. But the Canadians, first of all, before the Nugent-Hopkins goal, they deflected two or three passes that were bound for Draisaitl, yep, for the one-timer. So then when Draisaitl does get the puck over there, he goes down low, and Nugent-Hopkins just goes into stealth mode and sneaks in, and Draisaitl fires it through the crease, and he scores. And then the next time the Oilers have the power play, Draisaitl does cash in the one-timer.
Well, and that's the one thing that we talk about that makes them so successful is their ability to shoot and play make. Everybody is a threat. Whenever the puck goes to a certain player, that player has the ability to score. Most teams don't have that. I've played on power plays my whole career, and there's always the passer. There's always the net front presence. There's the guy that's the gets the loose pucks. There's the shooter. And then every power play will have maybe two guys that can do both. But the Oilers have five. All five guys have the ability to score. All five guys are great playmakers. And the Oilers, the ferociousness or the tenacity of getting pucks back. And that's what kills a penalty-killing unit, is when you've just fought off the first minute and you're about to ice the puck and someone picks your pocket or they knock it out of the air, and now you're out there. And Connor and Leon and Nuge, they don't get tired, but the penalty killers are absolutely exhausted. And that's when the mistakes happen. That's when all of a sudden the passing lanes are a little more open. The shooting lanes are a little more open. And that's why the Edmonton Oilers' power play is so successful, is they're all five players have the ability to do just about everything. And the power plays they don't score, you're like, wow, I can't believe they didn't score because they had three or four really good chances.
All right, $500 donation tonight to 630 Ched Santa's Anonymous from James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. James H. Brown giving $100 to 630 Ched Santa's Anonymous for every Oilers goal throughout the season. So we appreciate that. 5-3, the Oilers take it tonight. We're going to have more post-game reaction, and we're happy to hear from you as well. The CertainTeed hotline is 780-496-0063. CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed, pro all the way. We are live in Studio 99. It's Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Live Oilers Hockey is brought to you by Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.
Jack Eye will go across. Here is Doc. He'll shoot it right. Pad save made by Skinner. Hard shot by Kirby Doc off the right wing. Puck cleared out.
So Stuart Skinner gets the win. That's his save of the game for Crystal Glass. Call 310 Glass or visit crystalglass.ca. Skinner winds up stopping 30 out of 33. Probably didn't like necessarily the one goal he kicked into the slot, though also CC lost his man there. So overall, Skinner with a pretty decent outing. Jake Allen, after being absolutely heroic in Calgary the other night, stopping 45 out of 46. He stopped 17 out of 22. Kind of a misleading stat for him, yeah, because of the power plays and the breakaway goals. But, Skinner, he sticks with it. Okay, fine, one hit the crossbar in the third, but yep, that happens sometimes. And again, his calmness always strikes me as something that's very valuable to this team.
Yeah, no, he was fine. He gave them a quality start. Was a little bit better than the goalie in the other end. That usually spells victory for your team. I would think, I could be wrong, but I would think he will be the goalie in the Oilers' next game. I think he's earned the crease with this game again tonight. The Oilers want to have a nice homestand. It's they've had a hard stretch and did okay in it, but now they got a stretch where they play in some home games, so they want to make sure they put some points in the bank. And right now, we've seen that Skinner is the stronger of the two goaltenders, so I would assume he'll get the net in the next game. But, yeah, he was good. But I do agree with Jay Woodcroft. I thought the Oilers were not good in the first period. I thought the second period they had a good power play, but that was about it. But the third period, they were very good. There was, I can only really remember the one grade-A scoring chance where Bouchard and I can't remember the back-checking forward got confused, and all of a sudden, Armia has a wide-open shot. Beat Skinner, hits the post, but I don't remember anything else, which means the Oilers did a really nice job in the third period shutting down, holding on to a lead.
5-3, the Oilers take it, 780-496-0063. We have Big Bad Joe on the line. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, you guys, how it's going?
We're doing well.
Yeah, a lot of us, I think it was a cool game, though, and I was really impressed with Jesse, though. And I think if they keep him on the third line, though, he seems to be way more relaxed, comfortable. He hits. He just, you know, he was just playing awesome. And going back to that, what happened with Hyman, I think the reason they gave him a 5 minute and then came misconduct, the initial were Hyman got hurt, but after he went into the boards, he gave him another check. He popped his head into
that was
the board.
Oh,
that was the penalty.
Yeah, the hit
that
to the...
That was the penalty. Yeah,
I don't think the first hit wasn't a penalty. It was a set, and that was the problem for Edmondson there. He finishes Hyman, he has him out of the play, and then he cross-checks him across the face. It was just dumb on Edmondson. I mean, you're already shorthanded. You had a very good first period, and it really hurt the Canadians because he is a good hockey player that would have played big minutes, and all of a sudden the Canadians are forced to go to five defensemen and play their fifth and sixth defensemen that much more.
Yeah, and like I said, it was, you know, the third period, that's the way you like him to play all the time. And you know what? It's a good start. And that's all what I have to say.
Well, yeah, when four of five now for the Oilers, they're 14-11. Home game's coming up against Washington. They're actually not having a great year. Arizona's not having a great year. And then you get another crack at Minnesota. So that's the homestand. So, you know, they didn't fully take advantage of that homestand that started the season. No. So they're trying to take advantage.
Washington
of
will be
this
better.
One.
They're healthier. So Washington should be a better hockey club than they saw last time. But the Oilers, they need to put points together. They just do. If they want to have aspirations of winning the division, Vegas won again today. Seattle plays again today, and they seem to win every game. So I it's kind of surprising and shocking that we're talking about the Oilers trying to stay in the race with the Seattle Kraken. Good on the Kraken. But these are the games that the Oilers want to get points and keep themselves in within striking distance of the top teams in the Pacific Division.
Yeah, and he mentioned Puljujärvi. Now, he's technically on the second line right now. But I think, ideally, it's rare when everybody is healthy, but the Oilers have four of their top nine out. So, you know, I think a third-line role for him, whether it's, you know, McLeod centering or whatever combination it is, I think, to me, that's where he kind of fits on the team right now, if they do get everybody back eventually at the same time, because, you know, he's not finishing chances when he does get them.
No.
So, you know, if he plays on the third line, and as you said, sometimes he's unintentionally disruptive, but yeah, he can be disruptive.
He's an accidental hitter. He doesn't realize how strong he is, how big a man he is, and he just going in to look for a puck, and he's running over everybody in there, and they're getting mad at him. And Jay Woodcroft pointed it out on the power play that Nugent Hopkins scored. It was a wrestling match between Jesse and the defenseman where they both fell down, and all of a sudden the defenseman's sole eyes are on Jesse, and Nugent Hopkins comes back, so there's no one in the passing lane because Jesse has taken up space in front of the goaltender. So that is good. I think Jesse's ceiling for this team is a third-line player, and it's not as pretty. The stats don't look as good. But if your team is successful and you're part of it, that's a good thing.
All right, so the Oilers take it 5-3. Here's the winning goaltender, Stuart Skinner.
It's kind of tightened up a little in the third period there. You like kind of the way the group and yourself sort of locked things down when it was a one-goal game?
Yeah, I thought we finished off strong. Obviously, we kind of just stuck with our game plan. I thought we played really well in the D zone. Everyone was buying in on that, and then we got one from a turnover. Leo made a great had a great stick through the middle, and then Davo did his thing. But I thought as a group in the third period, we were blocking shots. We were doing everything that was needed to, you know, finish out the game. And I mean, you can't ask for a better period with, you know, no goals.
You're seeing more and more ice time, getting more starts here along the way. How do you feel like it's going for you, big picture here?
Yeah, I feel great. Body feels good. Mind feels good. Obviously, it's nice being in there, getting to play some games, get some more experience under my belt, and keep on learning and growing as an individual. At the same time, we got a lot of work to do. I got a lot of growth to keep on improving, and it's all about the win. So, you know, it's all about the next game now.
What'd you think of just the atmosphere? It's always great with the original six team, especially a Canadian one. How does it feel out there with so many fans and cheering both ways and everything that's going on?
Yeah, I actually didn't know that. I didn't know that the fans were going to be really loud for Montreal either. Somebody told me that before, and then they came out and it got pretty loud. I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. So just try to take all that energy, if it's for them or for us, try to take all the energy that you can for yourself. And I thought both teams played well, and happy that we came on top.
The Canadians on a Saturday night, like, that probably, you know, this is the first time for you, but Connor was just saying, never gets old.
It
must be special.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely special moment. I mean, it was a great game. I'm happy with the way that it went, so it's more special that way.
Big picture here. I mean, your guys' lineup is banged up, but you figured out a way to win 4 or 5 despite all of that. The feeling in the room has to be decent right now with that.
Yeah, I think that we're getting more confident and more confident as the games go on. Anything that, you know, gets pushed over our way, I think we handle it pretty well. I think the last few games we've definitely had to dial it in, and you can see that. I mean, winning 4 out of 5 is huge, especially I think we lost a few in a row, so it's nice to win a couple in a row, and hopefully we just, create a new streak here.
The other one I wanted to ask you about was when you caught the puck, I think you're on the power play, you held it for a sec, then played it. It was like an aggressive move, played it up ice. Is that a pretty significant part of your game, moving the puck?
Yeah, I would like to say so. I mean, I've been working on puck handling for forever, and I got a lot of help from Smitty last year. I'm getting a lot of help from Soupy, Pickard at the beginning of the year, just the way these guys play it, and so calm, and they make it so simple and simple, easy plays, and I'm just trying to grab that from the other guys, and I think it also helps out our D and helps out our forwards if we're able to move the puck, give them more time, and just make it easier on everybody. At the same time, you know, if you mess up, then it's a tough one to swallow.
So what did you see on that one?
That was the one where I passed it on the to Tice, and then we ended up scoring, I believe, right?
Yeah. Moved it. Took a second and moved it.
I think it was just because it was a 5-on-3, if I'm not mistaken. Could be a 5-on-4, but after the save, I just saw two guys kind of with me because it was a 2-on-1. So if I'm able to play that up, we have a quick 2-on-1, maybe even a 3-on-1. So I just thought it would give us an offensive chance. So I tried to swiggle my way and move the puck quick.
Would you say you've been less aggressive in this way since being in the NHL this year than maybe you were in the American League before?
With puck handling?
Yeah, and just, you know, taking chances, that sort of thing.
I think somewhat. I think I'm still, you know, the game's obviously faster up here, so the forechecks are a lot quicker, so you're going to have to make more simple plays. Where in the American League, I felt like I kind of hit middle a few times and kind of have fun with it. But at the same time here, like, teams are so good on their forecheck that you can't, you don't really have time to mess around with it, and guys come so hard. So I've been learning that, and made mistakes, and I'm growing from that. And today it ended up working well, which I'm happy about.
All right, there's Stuart Skinner, 30 saves tonight as the Edmonton Oilers beat the Montreal Canadiens 5-3. So the Oilers' record is now 14-11, and Skinner's personal record goes up to 7-5. As I found that interesting. Skinner said he didn't know how many Canadiens fans there would be here, because he did grow up here and go to games here. He must have never been to a game against Montreal, but he liked how he said, "We'll just use the energy." And I guess you probably experienced that too. It doesn't matter who they're cheering for or if they're booing you. Use the energy.
Well, you're actually, it's more exciting, because a couple times tonight where they went to the "Go Habs, go, let's go," like the cheers going back and forth. It's just energy in the building. It's when Montreal or Toronto come to town, it's as close as you're going to get to a playoff atmosphere, because there's excitement in the air. So that's why it's a nice night for Skinner. because this was a big game. Not because of where the Canadians are in the standings, but it's a big game because everybody's into it. The energy, the enthusiasm. It's Saturday night. Montreal Canadiens. So he came out and he played well. And probably got himself the next start because of it. But I'd never seen, or growing up, I couldn't remember this. And when Montreal came to Pittsburgh, it was never like this. He didn't have, you know, all the Canadian fans in the stands. So it wasn't until I came back to Edmonton and started doing games with the Oilers that I saw what it was like. And it is a completely different atmosphere when Montreal or Toronto's in the building, and it's a much more fun atmosphere. So it was a cool night, and it's always good at the end of the night when you're wearing your Oilers jersey walking out beside the people wearing their Canadian jersey, your smile's a little bit bigger.
Oilers win at 5-3. By the way, we just saw somebody in Studio 99 here wearing a Mats. Oh, there he is, wearing a Mats Naslund jersey, who is the last Montreal Canadian player to have a 100-point season, and who was a great small player. Oh. Well, he was a great player, but he was also small.
He was, and it's funny. I got to play in one NHL All-Star game. It was here in Edmonton, and Naslund was voted in as a starter. He was hurt and couldn't play, so I got to start. On the starting lineup because I took his spot.
Well, that was him that was out.
He was out, okay. And so I got to play with Mario and Cam Neely as the first line, which didn't work out as well because we went against Gretzky, Curry, and Robitaille, and I think I was -4 that game.
Well, but it's an all-star game. The stats don't matter.
They don't, but I still remember that I was -4. But it was pretty cool, though, being out there for the national anthem and starting an all-star game. So Mats Naslund didn't play, and I was able to get bumped up in the lineup.
Okay, 5-3, Oilers over the Canadiens tonight. We'll go back to the CertainTeed hotline. Frank has given us a call. Frank, go ahead.
Hey, guys, enjoying the discussion. Before I talk about the hockey game, kudos to the Oilers tonight. When you have a big game like Montreal, the 50-50, which I think the last time I checked is over 800,000, is going to help the food bank, which at this time of the year and this year is especially good news. So kudos to the Oilers. You're right, guys. When Canadians or the Leafs come into town, it's more than just a hockey game. It becomes an event, and we all get into it one way or the other, enjoyed it. Let's celebrate the Oilers' win, and as you guys said, what did they take out of it? Hopefully they'll become more consistent and play like this moving forward. Thanks. Oh, by the way, I'm pretty sure that they played a Metallica song before just to change things up, and maybe it was good luck, eh?
Well, they've been playing Enter Sandman as part of the intro for them coming out onto the ice, which they started in the playoffs last year. But, yes, we'll monitor that for you, Frank.
You got it, guys. You got it.
But it is true that if things work for you, whether it's music,
oh yeah,
how they set the puck, whatever it is, you stick with it if you've had success with it. All hockey players have a little bit of, they want to, what is the word I'm looking for when it comes, superstition.
A little bit of a healthy routine. Nothing wrong with a healthy routine.
Some have a healthy routine, others are superstitious.
Yes.
There's guys like Tom Barrasso, you couldn't touch his equipment. If anyone tripped over his stick or hit his pad before a game in the dressing room, he would yell at you, and it would be mean the things he would say at you in the dressing room. So every guy didn't come within 20 feet of him because they didn't want to feel his wrath.
By the way, don't forget, the game is over. The 50-50 isn't. The jackpot grows until 11. It's $816,000, so you can still grab the game day 50-50 in support of Food Banks Alberta. So, yeah, you know where to go. Oilers website, click on that 50-50 link. We do have a winner. David in Set the Line for River Cree Resort and Casino. Excitement bet on it. He took the under, Rob, and it wasn't close. I set the over-under at 9.5 for shots on goal by McDavid and Caulfield. Caulfield had 4.
He did his part.
And I thought, well, for sure it's going to be over. No, McDavid only had 2. They both went in. So it is under. So David gets the $50 River Cree Resort and Casino gift card.
That is a little shocking for the amount of power plays that the Oilers had for Connor to only have 2 shots on net. But when they go in, there's no rebound. So take the 2 goals and run away. And then Connor McDavid and his line mates change with about 40 seconds to go in the game with the empty net. Which
you want Janmark.
And then Janmark
couldn't finish it.
Well, I mean, it was gaping. It was wide open. I think Derek Ryan had already put down, yeah, I got an assist on that one and a plus. I know from experience, because I've missed one or two in my life. You're like, are you kidding me? Like, in the back of your head, you're like, come on, you just want to push reset. I want to be able to do it again. Janmark next day in practice, he'll go to the same spot. Won't tell anybody, but he'll, at some point in practice, he'll go to the same spot, and he will hit the exact middle of the net just to show himself that he can do it.
So when we talked about McDavid's breakaway goal and the things he can do on the breakaway. His goal in the second period on the power play, so he likes to kind of go back to the blue line, swoop in, get the pass with a little bit of speed. Then what's he going to do? Beat you one-on-one, go to Draisaitl or shoot. He shot, and Jake Allen didn't move.
Not an inch.
So how come?
Well, what we've seen with it, there's always previews. The team will look and see the tendencies of the players and what they do on their power play, especially on a power play. And Connor, we've already seen that when he goes up there, he throws it down to Hyman on the goal line, or he throws it backdoor to Draisaitl. So Jake Allen right now is, okay, is he going to the left or is he going to the right? Is he going to the left or is he going to the right? And Connor McDavid's wrists are so quick and his hands are so quick that when he shot the puck off his stick, Allen knew he was beat. As soon as the puck was not passed, Allen knew, okay, this is hitting me or it's going in. I do not have time to move. So that was just what we've seen. And we talked about when Connor McDavid first came into the league, he's got to shoot more because everybody knows he's passing. When he starts to shoot more, he's going to become there's going to be the goaltenders and the defensemen are going to have to guess. Right now, they know what he's doing. He's just better, and he's able to make the pass. But as soon as he starts shooting now, he's going to become an accomplished goal scorer because they're not expecting it, and that's what's happening now. Allen had no idea. He was guessing pass, and when the shot came, it was too late, and he said, I hope it hits me. And it didn't. And it went in, but it was funny because he just shot the puck, and Allen's standing there, and the puck goes through. It was like the puck was already in the back of the net, and Allen still didn't move. Yep. It's like, that one beat me. But that it just Connor McDavid understands that. He knows that he has so many tools at his disposal. He's like, okay, which way am I going with it? You can't guess. And he just makes you look silly sometimes.
So the Oilers score 4 goals in the second period, 3 of them on the power play, and they beat the Montreal Canadiens 5-3. Back to the CertainTeed hotline. Chris calling in tonight. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. How's it going tonight?
Good.
Good. I just have 2 quick questions, and I'm going to open up the line. My first question would be, do you see the shot differential in the game being an issue yet? I hate nitpicking wins, but we are outshot yet again, and it seems to be a kind of a common theme for us. I'm just wondering if we need a more team shoot mentality. And
I see it as a bit of an issue. Yes, I mean they had the puck in the second period a lot, but they weren't always shooting
on their
power play.
I have no problem on their power play with their shot selection, because their power play has been the best power play in the league for the last 4 or 5 years. So they're making the right choices. But in the first period, the Canadiens were the better team. In 5-on-5 through 40 periods, the Canadiens were the better team. The Oilers just had the better power play. So, you are a little, I don't know if concerned, but you're like, okay, it was a win, it was an important win, but through 40 minutes, the Oilers weren't as good as they're capable of being.
Yeah, I just didn't think they don't make the goalie work enough in a lot of the games. And my last question here would be, that cross-check on Hyman's face I thought was pretty dirty. I don't think a suspension will come, but what about a fine? What do you guys think?
I think the league will look at it. Well, certainly look at it.
I don't know off the top of my head if Edmonton has a recent history or anything like that.
I personally would give him a 1-game suspension. But then again, I would be suspension happy if I was the commissioner of the league.
Yes.
Because I'm like, that was dumb. And there's no need to. I mean, he was in a vulnerable spot. It was dumb for a lot of reasons. They're already shorthanded. They're playing really, really well. He's a good defenseman. He can. The Montreal Canadiens certainly need him in the game. So it's. It was just silly. I do believe that they will look at it. I'd give them a suspension, but I have no idea what the league will do.
What do you think of this? We're just watching video here of the Chicago Rangers game. Jacob Trouba with a big hit on Andreas Athanasiou.
He hit him hard.
He hit him hard.
He went up high on him. I mean, the thing with Trouba's a big man, and he jumps to take out Double A, and the Blackhawks went after him. I think the Blackhawks responded well.
The Taves went after Trouba
and fought him. Yeah. I just
that's, and
you don't need to jump, and he does jump, as he finishes the check, he comes up high on him. So to me, that's an illegal hit.
Yeah, I think that's where he's getting in trouble. And that's one, you know, when you played, you'd say, well, too bad for the offensive player. He had his head down a little bit. But in this day and age, it's the onus is on the person delivering the hit to make sure it's a clean hit. And you're right. If he drops his shoulder down and tries to get double A in the chest, it's probably okay, even though it would have been still quite a big collision. But, yeah, you can – he almost flings his arms out as he finishes the hit,
well,
right?
20 years ago, that's – all the hits were like that. You intentionally went high on guys, and contact with the head was the norm. But you can't do it anymore. And this one – Troop is a tall man. He's a big man. And to jump, that to me, that's a suspendable hit, and that's what they're trying to get out of the game.
The Blackhawks would win that game on the road against the Rangers. The Rangers are not good at home. 5-2, Chicago takes it. Golden Knights beat the Red Wings 4-1. Lightning over the Maple Leafs 4-3 in overtime. Killorn got the winner 33 seconds into the 3-on-3. Penguins pound the Blues 6-2. Senators knock off the Sharks 5-2. Devils, 20th win of the season, 3-2 over the Flyers. The Bruins, do they ever lose? 5-1. And they seem to play a lot of home games, too.
Not only do they win, they're spanking teams. Wasn't that against the Avs,
against the Avalanche. They won 5-1. Do you have their home-road split there?
I don't. I was just looking to see what...
It seems like they've... Not that there's... I mean, they're still a good team, but it seems like they played a lot of home games.
I was just trying to see what Trouba had. Trouba got 12 minutes of penalties in the game and only played 13 minutes.
He got six elbowing penalties on that play.
he only played 13 minutes. My guess is he got kicked out of the game.
Wild over the Ducks, 5-4 in a shootout.
Did you see some of the shots in the shootout? There were some of the prettiest shootout goals you'll ever see in that game. I watched that
one. I saw the last one. I didn't see the whole shootout.
There was a couple pretty ones.
First period, Hurricanes and Kings are scoreless. Capitals and Flames are scoreless. Panthers up 2-0 on Seattle. We'll see if that lasts. And the Coyotes beat the Canucks 1-0. Oh, they just gave Vancouver a goal. So 1-1. See, I'm going off NHL.com. Which isn't always the greatest thing to do because, as you know, Rob, I've had to rewind on scores because sometimes a goal gets reviewed and overturned.
Well, yeah, they put it up there and also...
Yeah, then I've come back from commercial. Like, oh, by the way, the score's gone back to what it was a few minutes ago. Anyway, Coyotes and Canucks 1-1, 3:11 left in the first period. The scoreboard for Edmonton Trailer, looking for parts, service, rentals, or new and used semi-trailers, head to edmontontrailer.com. Here at Rogers Place, the Oilers get a 5-3 win over the Canadiens. You'll hear from Connor McDavid. We have more time to hear from you at 780-496-0063. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Oilers Hockey is brought to you by Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reid Wilkins on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.
Dropped it behind the net for Armia to Donoff, left wing corner. Couldn't get it back to Armia. Sent to the blue line where Matheson keeps it in left point. He gets worked over by Holloway and the puck cleared out.
Good play by Dillon there.
Yep. Cleared it out, not hard enough for icing. Even better. 4-3, Oilers lead. 10:49 to go in the third period.
All right, Cam Moon and Bob Stauffer describing the crunch of the game for Cougar Paint Collision. Our family helping your family for 40 years and counting as the Oilers get the 5-3 win over the Montreal Canadiens. Reid Wilkins, Rob Brown in a relatively happy Studio 99 tonight as the Oilers improve to 14-11. They have won four of their last five. The Canadiens' record slips to 12-11-1. So now seeing the Canadiens in person, Rob, because it's always a little different when we're up high and you see a team and see the plays develop. Are you as impressed or as optimistic about them as you have been in the times you've seen them on television?
Who is that, the Canadiens?
Yes, the Canadiens.
Yeah, I am impressed. I thought they played a good game. They just became undisciplined. And you can't be undisciplined against the Oilers. That took them out of their game. They played a great first period. They've got some great young players. I thought Suzuki looked good in this game. I thought Cole Caulfield was quiet in this game. Their power play looked dangerous when it was out there. But to me...
Which is interesting because it was 29th in the NHL coming in, but against the Oilers' penalty kill.
It's true. They make teams look good on their power play. But to me, I was just mesmerized at times at Caden Gooley, at how good he is, how composed he is. I had to actually go on and look at how old he was. He's 20 years old, and he doesn't play like a 20-year-old. I know that Marty St. Louis talked about the fact he's a confident man, and you have to be to play this league at that age and play as well as he did. A wonderful future he has in front of him, but they're a nice team, and this game just got away from them because of, well, you give up 3 5-on-3s to the Edmonton Oilers and Connor and Leon, and you usually don't win those games. So the game came down to, though, two plays to me, is losing Edmonton when he got kicked out and Nurse scoring with 4 seconds to go in the period. Those two plays cost the Montreal Canadiens a chance at 2 points.
Then Arbor Jacki scored.
It's funny. Somebody just came over and said, how do you pronounce that guy's name? I go, I don't know. Hey, I said, I call him Wi-Fi. And then he said, well, how does Reed say it? I said, I don't know, but I call him Wi-Fi.
Thanks for paying attention.
But he, you know what? It's funny that they talk about he's was in and out of the lineup, and they hoped that he would stay up at the beginning of the season. Is he going to be here? I thought he played very well. He's physical. He scored a nice goal. He moves the puck well. He's got possibly the coolest name I've seen in the National Hockey League. I'm never going to be able to pronounce it, and that's why his teammates call him Wi-Fi. But he's a nice hockey player. They've got some good pieces in this team. And I mean, losing Edmondson for the final 40 minutes, not having Gallagher in the lineup, Hoffman is another good player for this team. So they
might wind up trading Monahan or somebody else along the way. But
I don't know Monahan personally. I've only heard positive things about him, of how good a person he is. So I am, as a fan of the game, excited to see that his career has turned around here and the confidence is back. And, yeah, he probably will be somewhere by season's end, but that's a good thing because someone's going to want him the way he's playing here with the Montreal Canadiens, so good on him.
And you know what, Rob? I'm going to expand that window of the game that was big. Mm-hmm. Late in the second period, because Jacki scored with a second left on a two-man advantage. So they still had time on the power play with it 3-3, and that's the one the Oilers killed
big
off.
Big kill.
Doc walked in. Not to say great defending there by Edmonton. Wasn't able to jam it in. And then the Oilers, Shore almost scored with about a minute left in the second period, and then they scored. So the Oilers surviving the second half of that power play
was huge.
And then turning the territory a little bit.
And I wanted one other play in this game that was huge in the hockey game. It was Stuart Skinner. When the Montreal Canadiens were two men short, they had a two-on-one and expended all their energy on the two-on-one. Skinner made a save and had the puck in his glove. And he skated 5 feet out of his crease to get the puck out for them to go back the other way. If he holds on to the puck and there's a whistle, the Canadians can change their tired three players. But because he made sure to keep the play moving, they got the puck up very quickly. The two Canadians that were on the two-on-one had to get back, use all their energy getting back, and now it was a 5-on-3, and those three Montreal Canadians were absolutely exhausted. It was a really smart play by Stuart Skinner, keeping that play alive, not taking a whistle, and allowing the Oilers' five best players to take advantage of three tired Canadians.
All right, so the Oilers take it 5-3, 4 points from this man, Connor McDavid.
Maybe that third period, Connor, you guys were protecting a lead and you did a pretty good job in those moments. That's what you were looking for?
Yeah, I thought we were not very good for 40 minutes. And you're lucky to find ourselves up one, and kind of a weird game that way. But I thought our group did a really good job of playing a nice, solid, mature third period and not giving them anything. And anything we did get, Stu kind of shut it down. So I thought it was a real good third.
Scoring goals, you got to score to win, you guys score. Does this team feel better about itself when it goes into the third period, having given up three, and comes out of the third period not giving up any? Is that a good sign?
We're obviously we don't hide behind the fact that we need to be better defensively. I think we've always, it's always the theme around here, and we find ways to score goals, and we got to keep them out of our net. And I thought, I didn't like coughing up the 3-1 lead, but I thought we did a good job of kind of holding it there, and that's a positive sign.
Three power play goals in the second period. This team's always had a good power play, but it looked like you guys were feeling it even more in that second period.
Yeah, it was weird. It felt like we were on the power play like 10 minutes straight or something like that. Weird period. Weird that way. I thought power play did a good job of finding a way to capitalize, and I thought the rest of our group found a way to get themselves back into it. I know it was a long time to kind of sit there, so I thought they did a good job too.
You always want to score on the power play, but you especially want to score when it's one of your buddies got crossed.
we want to score on the power play no matter what happens, and obviously it's a form of our team toughness. You know, if teams want to come in and take shots and runs and all that type of stuff at guys, then you know we got no problem scoring on the power play. That's what we get paid to do.
I'm not sure what the stat is, Connor, but on your breakaways this year, you seem to be pretty efficient in feeling it in alone. Would you say you're feeling it more this year than maybe before in alone?
Early in my career, it was an area of weakness and something that I needed to improve. And I think as my career's gone on, I think I've gotten better and better. Just comfortable being in that spot and just keeping it a little more simple, I think. Not to say that I can't make a nice move, but just being a little bit more simple with it, I think.
Do you have your mind made up at the line what you're going to do, or at the very last second, or are you just freewheeling? How's that going?
Yeah, I wish I could take you through the process, but it's a lot of instinct. It's a lot of... it's a lot of kind of just feeling it. You know, obviously you're coming in on different angles all the time and just trying to make the goalie move.
Big picture, Connor, you got 4 or 5 here with a really banged up lineup. I mean, I know there's some holes in the game here and there, but you guys have to feel pretty decent about that.
Yeah, and it hasn't been pretty, you know, but that's what you got to do when you're a little bit banged up, and obviously we are, and we're finding ways to win games. That's the bottom line, and that's what we have to keep doing.
Connor McDavid has 4 points. Leon Draisaitl has 4 points. Oilers beat the Canadiens 5-3. Our next game broadcast on 630 CHED is Monday. Face-off show at 5, game at 6:30. Oilers host the Washington Capitals. Thanks to our game day engineer, Troy Bowler, and our studio producer, Angie Quinnell. Oilers hockey is presented by Friesen Brothers. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. Thanks for listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.